The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, exploring the value of your calling.
Keith does not bring home fish and put them in a tank and we watch them swim around. We fry up those babies and we make homemade tartar sauce. And what happens here in gospel fishing is that we're caught so that we can be released, not from him, but from everything else that binds us.
God's Calling, next on Life Today.
Thank you so much. Welcome to Life Today. Betty and I, James Robinson, welcome you to the program. I want to mention something that is available right now. It's the Christian Vote Pen. If you'll go online, lifetoday.org, we'll tell you how to get Indivisible, and either in the hardback bound or in the paperback, and we'll send you two Christian Vote Pens when you simply ask for it. And we really want to thank you for praying for our country. No doubt in my mind, Betty and I are convinced the viewers of Life Today care about others. And if we want our nation to continue to be able to bless the nations of the world and our people to enjoy the blessings of our freedom, we're going to have to make some very wise decisions. And we need to be protecting precious, innocent life. And we really need to be emphasizing the importance and sanctity of marriage and the importance of family. Beth Moore is teaching on the call of God. Then on the net that God literally draws us in, and then that we can cast to reach people for Christ, the enemy has a net too. And it's deceptive and destructive. You should listen to Beth Moore. I think you'll really enjoy this. Here she is.
I want to read you a passage out of John 12:41. It's talking about a portion. Jesus is reciting for them a portion of Isaiah off of those very, very pages. And it says something that's just startling. And you'll hear it in the NIV, John 12:41 says this. Isaiah said these things, and you can look back and see among the writings of the prophet Isaiah these very words, and the words in 40 are right there in that portion back in around 6. Isaiah said these things because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke of him. Isaiah said these things because he saw what many of your translations are going to say. He saw his glory. He saw his glory. The NIV says he saw Jesus' glory. He saw Jesus' glory. Now, two different commentaries, the Word Biblical Commentary and then Expositor's Commentary, both said they were able to confirm, yes, it is very, very possible that what we're hearing Christ say is that when Isaiah spoke those things, when he had that vision of the one upon the throne, that it was Christ that he saw. That just blows my mind. And this is something I kind of learned this early on. I don't think you should make a rule out of it, but it's just a good principle to try to wrap your mind around when it comes to epiphanies. That in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament, any seeable, humanly seeable revelation of God in the Old Testament was some form of Christ. Because we cannot look upon God and live. And so somehow there are many scholars that believe that any time there was seen the one upon the throne, that if they were able to see any part of the person, that it was Christ himself. And so you don't have to go there. That's not a deal breaker right there. But what's so fascinating is Jesus saying that Isaiah saw him, Jesus' glory on that throne. In other words, back there in Isaiah 6, when he sees the Lord high and lifted up, that verse could imply that who he saw sitting upon that throne was Jesus himself. And I mean, like all those seraphim were were just flying around him saying, holy, 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 the whole earth is full of his glory and all of this is happening and that we've got this calling that's happening. But what's happened now is that this same God, see, here's what we got to get. Do you realize who has called you? That same God wraps himself in flesh, comes to the earth, and walks onto that shore and calls the likes of Simon Peter from the boat. And here's where I want to take you for a minute, because I sat back and started just whirling back and forth between the two. And so I wonder if you would go with me here for just a moment or two. I want you to picture that we have Isaiah and we have Peter right here up on the platform. And because it's Old Testament, I'll put him first. I want you to think of Isaiah right here. And then I want you to think of Peter over here. And what I'd like to do with you is compare for just a moment the calling of both Peter and Isaiah and how they might have similarities. Because I want you to try to wrap your brain around that this is the God, the holy, holy, holy one who has called us. We make the most grievous mistake of all when we try to dumb Jesus down. He is God. He is God. The sky will split for him when he comes back. We will literally mourn over the sight of him. He will be so glorious. And somehow we've detached the two. So who do we have over here? And who do we have over here? Okay, here, just go with me here and see if this makes any sense to you. Isaiah 6:1, the prophet Isaiah wrote, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Fast forward with me all the way over to Simon Peter. He might have been able to say it like this. In the year AD 30, I saw the Lord with people packed around him, listening to the word of God. And all at once, he was seated in a boat, a little from the shore, and the train of his robe filled the floorboard. And suddenly, it was as if it were just the two of us. And he told me to put out into the deep and let down my nets after I'd fished all night and caught exactly nothing. But because he said so, I did so. And lo and behold, two boats could not contain the haul of fish. And I looked at him and wondered what manner of man was seated there in the boat, the train of his robe filling the floorboard. But what Peter's eyes were shielded from seeing was that as surely as Christ is God, on that very day in the deep, there were above him seraphs, each with six wings. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And though Peter's ears were unable to hear, as surely as Christ is God, right there above that boat, those seraphs were calling to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. And back in Isaiah chapter 6, the prophet cried out, woe is me, for I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty. But when Peter had seen the sight before him, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man. Then one of the seraphs flew to Isaiah with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs off the altar. And Isaiah wrote of the event that, with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Peter and all his companions were absolutely astonished. And so were James and John and the sons of Zebedee. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catchers of men. And in Isaiah 6:8, the prophet said, here am I, send me. And in Luke 5:11, Peter, James, and John pulled their boats up to the shore, left everything, and followed him. It was perhaps the youngest of these that would later write, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and made His dwelling among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the one and only, holy, holy, holy." The whole shore was full of His glory. Don't you understand? It has to be like that. Don't you understand? It's the reason why He came, that very God stood up from the throne, left His Father's side, wrapped Himself in human flesh and blood, came to the shores of earth, got sand in between His toes to say, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for me? Depart from me. Depart from me. I'm a man of unclean lips." And He says, "I have atoned for your sins." Number two is this. If you forget the value of your calling, look back at the one who called. If you forget the value of your calling, girlfriend, guy friend, look back at the one who called. We keep looking for our worthiness and all of our value inside. And He's going, "Listen, you search me out. I'm the one who called your name. Look at who I am. I am the one who sought you, chased you down, met you at home, chased you to work. I am the one who calls you." You look at Him, and you will see your significance, and I will see my significance. Look at verse 10, where He says this. It says that Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Now, it's a compound word in Greek, and it doesn't just mean to catch. It means to catch alive, to catch alive. So He's playing off on a very, very well-known maxim in fishing, and that's that you don't bring home the fish. Keith does not bring home fish and put them in a tank and we watch them swim around. We fry up those babies and we make homemade tartar sauce. That's what we do with the fish He brings home, because He catches them to kill them. And remember, for some of us that studied the concept of the net in the Old Testament together, remember when we were praying that God would just pluck our feet out of the net? See, that is a net to kill, to steal, and destroy. But His net is to catch us alive. To catch us alive. You've heard of the internet. Beloved, this is the E-N-T-E-R-N-E-T. Internet. "I will catch you," He says. "I will catch you for good." That brings us to number three. Gospel fishing is catch and release. Now, that is going to make some man out there happy that he has watched these women so many times, and he thinks to himself, "Finally, something I can understand in a metaphor." And what we've got here is that gospel fishing is catch and release. That's what my husband has to do in many of the rivers where he is out for, am I saying it right, gentlemen, whitefish or some kind of trout that you catch in a river. Very often, they can't take any home where he fishes, and you have to throw them back. It's catch and release. And what happens here in gospel fishing is that we're caught so that we can be released, not from Him, but from everything else that binds us, from anything else that has trapped us. He catches us so that we can be free, so that we can be free. It's net for life, not for death. There are just a couple of words there. From now on, you will be catching men. From now on. Would you just write down those three words? From now on. Would somebody say them out loud?
From now on.
I want you to say it so loud that I can hear you all the way up here. Would y'all say it again?
From now on.
From now on. Anybody just wish you could have a from now on kind of work? I mean, just like one? Because the thing of it is, we know that according to the scriptures, that so much of what we're going through is process. We know that he who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it. We know that we are in a long process here that began with our salvation and will not end until he redeems all things, until we've seen him face to face and he is brought in the day of the Lord. So until then, we know that this is a process and we're in a progression. We're moving from glory to glory as we reflect his countenance. We know all of that. It's one of the most important things to understand is that once we are saved, then there is the matter of completion, that he completes what he starts. That's a beautiful thing. We get that. But just every now and then, wouldn't you just like for something to be done? Done. Maybe the grip of that addiction. Wouldn't it be wonderful if just like finally it was done? You know what I think he'd say to us? You can have it. Come follow me. Come follow me. Come follow me. Our freedom is in following him. That for every single one of us that would just go with him. Just go with him. Where he leads, we'd have a from now on. Some things really would get to be, that was then, this is now. Come and follow me. Every encounter you ever have with him, everything he's ever caught you in the middle of, was a Savior and Redeemer who loved you, called your name, and said, you cannot get rid of me, no matter how you say, depart from me. And the miracle of it is that over his head in the heavenlies where we cannot see him are seraph flying and crying, holy, holy, holy. This one cannot do you wrong. He cannot betray you. He cannot forsake you. He cannot abandon you. He will not leave you. No, he's not going to depart. So today, from now on, cease trying to get rid of Jesus. Because he's not leaving without you.
To obtain information on Beth's teaching materials and for her speaking schedule, visit us online at lifetoday.org.
What an amazing truth. And no matter how far we wander, You know that sheep, when they got 99 safe, the shepherd, secure, he's after one. Betty, every time we've drifted, and I've drifted, sometimes I think maybe you haven't, but I have. Uh-huh. And as I have made these mistakes, not only did I have the prayers of someone like you and others who cared, but the Lord was after me. He's after us in the deepest ditch or pit that anyone can throw us in, or we fall in, or we dig our way into. And he wants to lift us up. He wants to lift our nation up out of a ditch of debt and depression and depravity and I think deception in many ways. I want to show you in this last week of the emphasis, I think something that's as moving as anything you'll ever see. As a matter of fact, I don't even think I could begin to set it up right because the emotion and the reality is so great. It moved me beyond words, and Betty. I want you to watch because I can promise you that if you've ever seen something that needed attention and you say, I just wish I could do the exact right thing, well, you can. And you're going to want to watch, and then you'll want to do the right thing. And you are the answer. You're the solution. You're the joyful solution to a great challenge. Watch closely.
ពេលមកពីណាខ្ញុំបានថាកូនសម្រាប់ចិត្តមានកម្លាំងពេលកូនស្លាប់ទៅដូចមានអារម្មណ៍មួយទៀតថាវាខ្ញុំបារម្ភតែម្ដងធ្វើយ៉ាងម៉េចទេគឺបានតែនៅផ្ទះកាត់ទុកនឹងឯងដូចនឹកឃើញតែកូននៅមុខកូនស្លាប់បាត់ទៅមានតែនឹកឃើញកូនគឺមានតែយំមិនដឹងធ្វើយ៉ាងម៉េច
ដល់យូរយូរទៅមកកັບចិត្តខ្លះទៅបើគ្នាអត់នៅជាមួយគឺមានតែកូនយូរម្នាក់ឯងស្លាប់បាត់ទៅមានតែនឹកឃើញកូនគឺមានតែយំមានប្រាជ្ញាកុំឲ្យទៅធ្វើខ្ញុំគេឆ្ងាយឆ្ងាយដូចជាប្អូនស្រីខ្ញុំនៅស្រុកគេមិនដឹងជាយ៉ាងណា
Betty and I watched a mother named Pish lose her, one of her little babies, her children, and now she had another one she didn't know if she's gonna lose. And when Betty and I saw it, we said, we're gonna drill a well for her village. We're gonna pay the whole well for that village. It's $4,800, that's the average cost. Well, we started asking God years ago, probably nearly 20 years ago. The wells were $3,600 at that time. I don't know how long they'll stay $4,800, but that's still the average now. With the rising petroleum costs, I don't know how long it'll stay. But we said, Lord, we would like to drill a well. And we asked God. I can't tell you how he blessed us. Just the blessing of doing it. I don't think it wouldn't matter what we had to do it. But the way he blessed to enable us to keep doing it, and now that, and I got to be honest, Betty, I almost find myself saying, well, I just want to do another one right now. But if here's what I feel like I'm supposed to say. I think there's somebody watching who said, you know, I can cover that village. And maybe one next to it. Or some of you say, I think that mother is representing a lot of villages. See, we've already targeted 350. I wish it could be 550. I prayed today, God, before I die, as long as I'm on this earth, would you let me live to see that I can help inspire fresh, clean water to every village and every person on this planet? I mean, that's a dream. That's a desire. I believe it's God's desire. What do you feel when you see that?
Well, you know, just as I listened to her, and her plea was, mothers, other mothers, help me, help my baby. She's lost one child. Children are so dear to the heart of mothers. We feel their pain. And I can't even imagine, James, if she had to watch her baby die like that simply because they had dirty water. And now she's got her other child she's afraid for. She doesn't want to lose this baby. We can help. We can reach out and make their difference. James, I know my heart is with yours. I want to help this mother. But there's so many more mothers that need our help with their children. Please help us drill the water wells.
The thing is that the way we meet the need is each one of us do what we can. Not everyone can drill a well. If you can, I believe you will. Dial the number. Take your bank card, use like a check, and say, here's the well. Or write a check, make it to Life, call us and tell us it's in the mail. Go online, lifetoday.org, and say, here it is. Boy, I rejoice I can do it. But remember this, sometimes you say, I can't do that. What can you do? Could you give $1,200 and pray three people join you, or $2,400 and pray one person joins? Or could you give $48 during this last week to complete the targeted 350 wells? Could you say, I'll give $48 and give 10 people water? 10 children like she was referring to? $48 will do that. $144 will give 30 people water. Would you do that, please? Right now, I know you're praying, but would you put feet to the prayers, and would you be an answer to her prayer and her heart cry? Would you dial the number, please, or go online and make the gift? We have some gifts to send you to say thank you. Please make that gift. Father, you move, and as you move on the hearts of the viewers and the listeners, help them to simply obey your loving voice and your direction in Jesus' name. He always blesses us when we bless others. Thank you for making the call. Should you get a busy, that's a good sign. That means somebody else is trying to get through too. You be determined. You call until you get through. Thank you for making the gift.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything. With your gift today, we can establish and drill 350 new water wells for remote villages in 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Arise, a beautiful new daily devotional featuring words of encouragement from inspiring women who have shared their faith on life today. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request the Arise audio-visual devotional featuring 40 days of inspiration from Life Today's favorite women guests. Please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the 2012 commemorative bronze sculpture, The Lion and the Lamb. This is the last week. Call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, I'd really like to emphasize that this is the last week, Mission Water for Life for this year. We'd love to send you this beautiful collectible, the art piece. This is a bronze, and it is absolutely beautiful. I don't even think we can get shots that give the beautiful detail. We're sending it to those of you who will help us drill a well by either giving the amount for the well or giving $1,200 and praying for 3 to join you, and I believe they will, or $2,400 and pray somebody joins you. We're going to be sending Arise for any gift. We've told you you can go online and find out how to get Indivisible, get the Christian boat pens. It'd be wonderful to do that. And really begin to pray for our country. But let's meet the needs of these precious people. And let's be an answer to the heart cry of mothers, just like the one you saw represented. It's so precious. These precious little children. Let's help them. Thanks for doing it.
Have the ability to fake my relationship with God.
Becoming real, because fake is exhausting. Tomorrow on Life Today. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.